Today is celebrated the appearance in this world of Srila Satyarananda Thakur Bhaktivinoda and the disappearance from this world of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Appearance in this world and disappearance from this world, we say, because they are eternal living beings. They are manifest to us, that is called prakat, and then again aprakat, not manifest to us. And of course, all living beings are eternal, but we conditioned souls are in the atmosphere of non-eternity. We have accepted a non-eternal identity. We identify with the situation forced upon us by the material energy. Now I am in a male English body, and therefore I identify with that. Actually, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I am seriously working on not identifying with it. At least I know theoretically I am not this body. But that is actually a very advanced platform to even begin to understand I am not this body, and everyone is bound in this material world by bodily consciousness. But the great devotees, they're not like that. Our identity changes, or our supposed identity changes with every change of body. And it may change as we go along in time also, yeah. And then we change our identity from boyhood to childhood to youth and gradually up to old age. So within one matrix of identity, one body, we go through various nuances of that identification, of that identity. But the great devotees, they are great devotees before they come to this world, while they're in this world, and after they leave this world. And as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented, in reference to the passing of Haridas Thakur, he reasons ill that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. So the pure devotees, they come to this world, as is stated by Sri Prahlad Maharaj, we'll find that in Bhagavatam. He prayed to Lord Narasimhadev that you have sent me to this world to demonstrate the characteristics of pure devotees, which great devotees like Bhaktivinoda and Haridas do. Now, I say great devotees like Bhaktivinoda and Haridas, but really they're unique. There's no one like them. And all devotees are, every living being is unique, but still the contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur, even among so many great devotees, their contributions are unique and outstanding. Yesterday, we celebrated Vamana Dwadashi, the appearance in this world, the anniversary of the appearance in this world of Vamanadeva Bhagavan. And as usual on that day, we discuss and meditate upon his taking two steps to conquer the whole universe. And we hear it and we think, all right, very good. After all, he's Bhagavan, he can do anything. What's the harm? What's the difficulty? For Bhagavan, he can do anything. So in some ways, the character of the devotees is even more amazing than that of the Supreme Lord, because we expect the Supreme Lord to be amazing, unique, doing all kinds of things that ordinary mortals can't do. But we don't expect that of the great devotees. We don't expect that of anyone who appears as a human being or is in the category of a jiva. We do expect great devotees to do extraordinary things. Sorry, I slip of the tongue. But not in the sense of just like, Vamana Dev covered the whole universe in two steps. We don't expect him to take the form of a giant fish. We don't expect jivas to do things like that. But in many ways, their activities are more outstanding than those of the Supreme Lord, especially considering that they are not the Supreme Lord and they don't have omnipotency, omniscience, omnipresence, or omni-anything. They live in some ways like ordinary living beings, but in other ways they are outstanding to such an extent that it seems almost impossible to think how a living being could be like that. But they come to show us, by living in this world among us, they come to show us that we should also be like that. They are acharyas, nama acharya, Haridas Thakur, the acharya, the teacher by example in the matter of chanting the holy names. He was chanting 300,000 names, 3 lakh names every day. And I think, well, that's really tough. I couldn't do that even one day, what to speak of every day. But he's showing in the pure state, the jiva has such love for Krishna that it's natural for him to chant the holy names. There is a story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in connection with Gopal Guru Goswami, who was a young boy in Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present there, and who later became the acharya, sevite, overseeing the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed away from this world. So the story goes that in youth, there was this boy named Gopal, and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going for passing stool. And you may think, well, passing stool? Yeah, passing stool. And as the practice until recently in India was for most people to defecate outdoors. So he was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to defecate outdoors, and he was holding his tongue. And Gopal saw him, he's a young boy, so a young boy has a license, and an elder person wouldn't come close to an adult passing stool, but young boys can do whatever they like when they're very young. And asked him, why are you holding your tongue? He said, well, if I don't hold my tongue, then I'll automatically chant the holy names, which isn't very good when you're passing stool. And Gopal said, yeah, but when you chant, then the whole world is so much benefited, so better you chant. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that and gave him the name Gopal Guru, even such a young boy. And then later, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Kayate Shuite Jota Tota Nam Aloy Desh Kal Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhi Hoy. In any circumstance, one can chant the holy name, or should be chanted, even while eating, even while lying down to go to sleep. One can achieve all perfection by chanting the holy name in any circumstance. In this regard, I want to share an anecdote which I just was informed of yesterday by my dear godbrother TGS Prabhu, another unique devotee. I'm not saying he's on the level of Bhaktivinoda. Well, in one sense he is, because he is a jiva who's dedicated to the service of Krishna. But of course, as Professor Nishikant Sanyal pointed out, there's always a gulf of difference between the savior and the saved. Anyway, Tejas Prabhu informed me that in Delhi, when he was staying, they were staying in a house, the devotees were staying with Srila Prabhupada in one house. This would be early 1970s. Yeah, it was early 1970s. That would be 1971, because it was during the time of the last India-Pakistan war. And there was one block of toilets in the whole building. So Srila Prabhupada, he had his own toilet, but it was next to the ones which the others were using. So Tejas Prabhu, he was using the toilet one time, and he heard from another toilet cubicle someone saying in a deep voice, "Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kaivalam, Kalau Nasceva, 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 Gati Aranyata." And he thought to himself, "Who's that chanting in the toilet?" You can guess who it was. Then he came out of the toilet when he was finished doing, and also came out of the toilet His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So we have so many things to learn about the chanting of the holy name. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur, they're intimately related, in as much as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made his bhajan kuti, his place of bhajan, right in front of the samadhi of Haridas Thakur in Puri. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed from his own meditative vision Vedic knowledge, just like we have the Vedas. How are the Vedas manifested in human society? They're manifested in human society because different rishis, they're called mantra drashtas, those who can see the mantras. These mantras are, especially of the Upanishads, the Vedas are given by Krishna to Brahma, and then that's passed down in course of time. Some of them get lost. Some of them are again revived when they're seen in the mind, in the heart, by great rishis. The whole Divya Prabandham, Nalaya Divya Prabandham, was lost and again revealed. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Haridas Thakur in the matter of chanting the holy name. But that is not recorded in any of the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the last of which is Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was composed some decades after the passing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more than 50 years. And then there weren't any authorized biographies after that. So we know about Haridas Thakur principally from Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I don't know if there are any other sources of biographical information about him, or even the instructions he gave, which are recorded in both Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to... Now, wait a minute, it's around the other way. It's Haridas to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bhaktivinoda's Harinam Chintamani, which is such an important book. Although Pradyumna Prabhu once, who was Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit secretary, Sanskrit assistant, him and Nittai were the two principal traveling Sanskrit assistants with Srila Prabhupada. And Pradyumna Prabhu, he'd also learned Bengali, because if you know Sanskrit, to go from Sanskrit to Bengali is not at all difficult, especially the kind of Bengali that our Gaudiya Acharyas write in. It's mostly all Sanskrit, with just the words are Sanskrit, and the grammar is Bengali. That's not so true in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, that's another discussion. There's a mixture of some Persian and some Bridge Bhasha and this and that. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his writings, they're relatively simple Bengali compared to that of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They're accessible, the language is accessible. So anyway, Pradyumna Prabhu, he proposed to Srila Prabhupada to translate Harinam Chintamani. And Srila Prabhupada told him, oh, that's not a very important book. Better you translate Jaiva Dharma. Now, Jaiva Dharma is a monumentally important book, but Pradyumna Prabhu himself expressed surprise when relating this anecdote, which is recorded. You can find it on the internet. He expressed some surprise, and I'm also surprised, and I don't understand it. The Harinam Chintamani is such an important book. Exactly what Srila Prabhupada meant by saying that, I can only speculate that for presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to newcomers, we can say Jaiva Dharma is more important. But then again, it starts off with the basic philosophy and goes way, way, way up there. So, Harinam Chintamani does, and we'll find in several of the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they start off with the basics and take us way, 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 way up there to the highest, very, very highest levels. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then, what shall we speak? There's so much to speak. Haridas Thakur, today devotees will be relating his pastimes, which are simply wonderful, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, they're simply astonishing. How tolerant he was being beaten, and how determined he was to go on chanting. Kanda kanda hoy deho jai jodi pran tabu na chareho ami madhur harinam. Exactly the second line. I didn't get it exactly correct. But the purport is that when he was being beaten by sticks in various marketplaces, Haridas said, even if my body is lacerated into and cut into different pieces, and in this way I give up my life, but I'm not going to give up chanting Hare Krishna. So he went on chanting. Today, devotees will discuss the pastimes of Haridas and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In one of his Vyasa Puja offerings to Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who toward the end of his life became the end of his presence in this world, he spent many years engaged in the activities that Srila Prabhupada gave him of expanding the movement externally, and then the last few years he went more internally in the sense of studying our tradition, and especially he wrote several books, but he wrote about this, the theological contributions of Srila Prabhupada. In one of his Vyasa Puja offerings, he expressed his realization that Srila Prabhupada had given us not just Krishna, but he had introduced us to a whole family of so many great acharyas. What a lineup. So many great acharyas. And as the great Vaishnav poets say, simply by remembering the pastimes and even the names of these great devotees, we can be uplifted. We will be purified. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have lists of names of devotees, and many of the names, just the name is there, and we don't know hardly anything more about them, but just their name is so pure. In Rasik Mangal of Sri Gopi Janavallabh, there is similarly names, so many names of so many devotees are given there, and there's no more information about them. It's just we know they're great devotees. Hearing their name is purifying. Bhakti Balabh Tirtha Maharaj used to do that. He used to, every time he'd write about some festival, he'd give the names of all the prominent devotees who were there, a long, long list, with the idea that this is purifying, just to hear their names. But then we want to know about them also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, he does that. One song which was sung in the Gauriya Mats in the early morning on the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the songs, Bhajare, Bhajare, Amar Mon Ati Manda, Bhaja, Braja Bone Radha, Krishna Charanaravinda. This song that begins, O my mind, worship Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. O my very bad mind. So in that song, he lists the names Smara, Srinivas, Haridas, Murari Mukunda. He lists the name of so many. Oh, before that, of course, very famous, Devaki Nandan, a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes it's thought that he was, it's not clear, but it's rumored he was Gopal Chapal, who after Reformation, he wrote a song which is also the Vaishnava, is known as Vaishnava Vandana. Vrindavana Basi Jato Vaishnava Aragon Shabara Charana Bando Koriya Smaran. He gives the names of the prominent devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are to be meditated upon. And then he did a very long song also, very long, long poem with so many devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, this one song, giving the names of so many devotees. Haridas, his name is there. Smara Srinivas, Haridas, Murari, Mukunda. So many devotees' names are given there. But really to appreciate them, it's even hearing their names is purifying. But really to appreciate them, we need to learn about them, hear about their activities, and even more than their activities, what are their teachings? What are their teachings? Now, with Haridas Thakur, we know of his teachings from Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we also know about his teachings in the Harinam Chintamani. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his teachings are voluminous, the ones that are extant. There are teachings of his that are lost, but definitely very famous are his songs, which give access to devotional service from the very beginning stage up to the very topmost stage. And especially for Bengalis, it's a great boon, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The songs of Narottam Das and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're both great boons especially for the Bengali devotees who can understand. most of the many, many, many songs composed in Bengali in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, of which a lot are lost and a lot are still available. Most of them are Leela Kirtans, which are sweet, pure, absolutely transcendental, but for us who are not fixed in the level of relishing Leela, we may need some other compositions to help us along the way. So there are other songs also by other Vaishnava poets which help us along the way. The Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana of Govinda Das Kabiraj, for instance, is very helpful for us who are on this lower level and just needing to come up. And Narottam Das has given many songs, also very helpful songs. They tend to be on a somewhat higher level, and that's understandable, in as much as in every generation we're going down. The standard of humanity is going down. That's just part of Kali Yuga. It's just tatas chanu dinam dharma satyam sochang kshamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshan taya balang smriti hi. With the passing of every day in Kali Yuga, dharma, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, compassion, tolerance, then physical strength, bodily strength, all of these will diminish day by day. So the level of humanity is going down. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote so many songs which are so helpful. So many things to say about him. He also gave, he was maybe the first, that would have to be researched, who opened the interfaith, in as much as he translated many of the songs of Yamuna Acharya of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And the Sanskrit poems of Yamuna Acharya Stotra Ratna, many of them, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he represented them in Bengali in his Yamuna Bhavavali series of songs. Very helpful for devotees who aspire to surrender to Krishna. But they're hardly known. Why is that? Well, one reason may be that Bhaktivinoda Thakur produced such a volume of songs, so many songs, that generally only a selection of them are known and chanted. We chant in our ISKCON daily liturgy, Jai Radha Madhava by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the evening Gaura Arati Kirtan we chant, and we chant Sharira Vidyajal. These are regularly chanted daily in ISKCON centers. Then on Ekadashis, often devotees sing Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula, because in there is mentioned the Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kari. Within that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing all the favorable aspects of devotional service, sings that the day of Madhava, often known as Haribhasara Ekadashi, I observe it very carefully, knowing that it's the mother of devotion. So that's another song fairly well known in ISKCON, and the devotees living in Mayapur, the Bengali devotees, those of them who are going a little deeper, they may sometimes sing or often sing the one of the many songs of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, which are pertinent to the holy dham in particular, Kobe Gaurabane, Shuradhuni Tote, Harade, Ha Krishna Bole, Nachi Agayo, Beraib, Berabo Suki, Nalalota, Nanalota, Torutole. So these are some of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which Srila Prabhupada approved for inclusion in the first ever ISKCON songbook, Songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Oh, another very well-known song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jashomati Nandana Brajabara Nagara, which is regularly sung in Sri Chaitanya Mart and other branch mats of the Gauriya Mat institution at the Midday Arati. Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala Sri Gaura Hari is to be sung while the bhog is being offered, Bhogar Arati Kirtan. So these are some of the contributions of, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur Doyara Sagara, a song which is just suitable for singing to Bhaktivinoda, who composed it in glorification and then of the Vaishnavas. And then Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Deya, so many songs. So devotees who are into singing the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas especially, and I really wish it was a lot more, but there are so many things to do in Krishna's service. They're familiar with these songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur at least, but there are so many, and they cover so many aspects of devotional service, and that's only one side of his literary contribution, because there's a huge body of prose work also that, of course, Harinam Chintamani is in verse form, although it's not to be sung exactly. It could be, but it's a poem. But then we have we have the Jaiva Dharma, which is in the, it's not, you could call it a novel, but it doesn't really have a storyline. It's the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is presented within somewhat of a storyline. There's not really much story there. Chaitanya Shikamrita, very, very important book. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said these two books, Jaiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, they should be translated and in all the languages of the world. Chaitanya Shikshamrita systematically analyzes reality as it is experienced in this material world, levels of consciousness, and takes us. And he even uses those terms for levels of consciousness, right? What are those words? The Ankur, Sankuchita, these different words for the different levels, just compared to the closed bud, which opens up and becomes like a full flower. those books, and these books are fairly well known. But then we have also his Dashamul, his presentation of Dashamul Tattva, Amnai Sutras, Tattva Sutras, of immense value. And we may say that, well, we have Prabhupada's books. We have so many books of Prabhupada to read. How can we read all these things? Well, Srila Prabhupada also said we should read the books of the previous acharyas, but practically speaking, if a child was born with full intelligence and from the moment of his birth started to read the books of the Vaishnava acharyas and lived a long life, he couldn't finish them. There's so, and even to understand one of them is so, how much can you understand? How much have we understood of Srila Prabhupada's books? There's so much depth. Everything we need for all advancement is there in Prabhupada's books. But he also pointed us to look back at the previous Acharya's books. The contributions of Bhaktivinoda are, I don't know. I can't say what they are. Who can say? Even if we say, how much can we realize? Just like with Srila Prabhupada's books, we read them, and then we read them again, and then we read them again, and we don't know how deep they are. We keep on finding they're deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, another comment from Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that's in his book, The Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti. He pointed out a problem with Srila Prabhupada. I'm saying it in this. He did present it in a somewhat facetious or praise by not praising, you could say, in a roundabout way. He wrote, and of course I'm paraphrasing it, that unlike, he didn't mention the name Jesus, but he alluded to him. Another disturbing figure from about 2,000 years ago. Unlike Jesus, in which there's very limited literature about his teachings, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote, the problem with Prabhupada, he gave too much. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his book went on to list that he gave, how many, 80 pages, 80 books, average 400 pages each, and then there are about the same number of conversations and lecture books, and there are some biographies about him. It's too much, he said, in the sense that if you want to thoroughly investigate a topic on which Srila Prabhupada wrote or spoke, and that was recorded and then again transcribed, it becomes very difficult to understand on any subject. This is what Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote. And inasmuch as there's so much, and Srila Prabhupada said different things in different contexts and different times and different places and different circumstances to different people. Again, I'm paraphrasing what Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote. And therefore, to get a grasp of any subject that Srila Prabhupada taught about, then it becomes a very big task. And therefore, we need teams of research scholars to go into all of this. And of course, ultimately, yasyade, as Srila Prabhupada repeatedly taught, and the Vedas teach, yasyadeve parabhakti yatadeve tataguru tasyaite katitahyarta prakashante mahatmana. Only to those persons, only to those great souls who have complete devotion to the Supreme Lord and to the Guru, is the import of Vedic knowledge revealed. So it's not simply by scholarship, but it's not throwing out scholarship either, because one way the great acharyas are recognized as great acharyas is because of their literary contributions by which they guide and nourish the sampradaya, and they may add, definitely they add to the richness and the texture of the sampradaya. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like that also. He wrote so much. Huge, huge amount. He wrote in Bengali, in Sanskrit, little in English. And also we're told he wrote in Persian, but that was some legal matters. Because that's another amazing thing about all these things he did while living as a responsible family man and a respected government officer in the British government. He was trusted by the British government people to do a good job. He would judge in a just way, and he was very insightful. And he had a large family, 13 children. He was racked by bad health. The call of his service meant that he had to shift residence again and again and again, but he wrote so many books. And he preached in the villages and among the Bhadralok, the up-and-coming, what nowadays we might call the middle class of Bengal. And he had a magazine, Sajana Toshani. And he trained those sons of his, especially who took to Krishna consciousness seriously. Anada was one of his sons who invested time and energy in, who later became seemingly mad and died early in mystical circumstances just as he was passing away, a Sri Vaishnav Tilak automatically manifested on his forehead. And the other two among his sons who took to Krishna consciousness very seriously were, of course, Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur and Lalita Prasad Thakur. And among his daughters, that at least we know that Sodamani, she took very seriously. She was a great supporter of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, she was married. And so what he did as a grihastha, and so much writing he produced, apart from the Gaurya Math, which is the main manifestation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's active preaching, and Gaurya Math, and then we will include in that ISKCON, because after all, ISKCON came out of Gaurya Math. Our Srila Prabhupada was a member of the Gaurya Math, and he wanted to work. He was quite willing to work under the auspices of Sri Chaitanya Math, but circumstances had it differently. But apart from that, the Lalita Prasad Thakur's line is going on, and there are still from his Prapanashramas. I haven't visited. I should visit at some point in time his Prapanashramas. Some of them merged with Gaurya Math, and one of them that was under... Fairly recently, a biography was written in Bengali of Bhakti Tirtha Thakur, who was a prominent follower of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so that was written recently. That means his line is still going on. So I have that book, but I have to get round to reading it. Anyway, I'm just making the point that his preaching efforts paid off, and there are various branches of that, but his writings are there. He reasons ill who tell that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. He's living in sound. Now, we may say, how could... It would take a lifetime to... It could be that very easily, I mean, not very easily, but quite feasibly, one scholar could specialize in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it would just be a lifetime's work. Just to go through all that he's done. There's one devotee in Slovenia who's digging out Mahaprabhu Gora, who's spent time in Bengal, and he's digging out different works and trying to more with the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And of course, we know a lot about the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda from his autobiography, of which... there is some kind of translation floating around, and then later elements of that were made into that book, the seventh biography by Rupa, the seventh Goswami by Rupa Vilas Prabhu. I'm a little skeptical about that title, in as much as we had the six Goswamis, and then the seventh was Lokanath, and sometimes it said the seventh was Lokanath and the eighth Bhugarbha Goswami. So maybe you should have said the ninth. Anyway, that title seems to have stuck. So anyway, we have some knowledge about his life and activity, and that's being researched by Mahaprabhu Gora in Slovenia, although unfortunately he's inhibited by not knowing Bengali or even English very well. And there are others, I believe, that in Sweden, Pranav Prabhu is also. And there are other scholars also who are investigating Bhaktivedanta. Some secular scholars whose their understanding is necessarily distasteful due to their seeing him as a product of his times and seeing him as just an ordinary human with personal motives and devotees, they should study all these things. We should have devotional universities in which we present it our own way, not that we're constrained by the agnosticism at best of academia. We should present biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Acharya, saint, Kamala Manjari. He revealed himself. Who will understand? Who is Kamala Manjari? He has revealed. He's revealed everything about himself. What is that? He's said that he's given his. I just can't remember how it begins now. That his complexion is Bharana Tarit, just like lightning. It's 12 years, 4 months is his age. His name is, so many details he's got. We should present. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. Another devotee who's really, in my humble opinion, really appreciated Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the level and in a way that Thakur Bhaktivinoda himself would really appreciate is Vidvan Gauranga Prabhu in Mayapur, who's very, very much got into the teachings and is very interested to produce, to translate and distribute those teachings. But it's just like any of his works. Spending a lifetime studying his works, even one of his works. So there's so much packed, there's so much important, so many important things in there. So that should be, we could have a whole project, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur project, just a whole team of scholars, devoted scholars, just start churning and studying and seeing this link with this shastra and so many things. There's based in Vrindavan, there's Dr. Damien Martins, his life is Balade Vidyabhushan, finding out, especially finding the old manuscripts, translating them faithfully, any biographical details that may come. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have a lot more biographical information and a lot more material in terms of his writings. Not that Baladev, of course, is any, not to say any less, but in terms of volume, Bhaktivinoda is much more. And then we have one devotee who is himself alone, just bringing out as much as he can. On Baladev Vidyabhushan, he didn't write much. Well, he did, actually. It is quite voluminous. His Govinda Bhasha in itself is the very nature of his Govinda Bhashas. It's just so deep, and then he's unpacked Govinda. He's become the instrument for Govinda to unpack the Vedanta Sutras of Vyas, but then again, he unpacked some more. There's no end. So the acharyas, they've very kindly given us work to do. There, one time, I believe it was Vishnu Jan Swami said to Srila Prabhupada that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said to Srila Prabhupada that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had said that he's left the world with so many things not done. And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, that is his mercy. He's left us some service to do. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are today glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur. And certainly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is extremely pleased that persons like myself from lecha background, most of them have transcended their lecherness and become devotees. But the fact that we are glorifying him in English language and other non-Indian languages will be undoubtedly very, very pleasing to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though our glorification necessarily falls short. But he'll be very, very pleased, because that was his dream, as Srila Prabhupada said to, I believe it was the first ever group of international devotees gathered in Mayapur for the first international Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur. I believe that would be the year 1974, if my poor memory serves me correctly. And there's just a little snippet of that recording available in which Srila Prabhupada says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's so happy. This was his dream, that devotees from all over the world will come to Mayapur. And of course, that is recorded, the very famous quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when will that day come when the English, the Russian, the Prussian, the German, the French, devotees from all over the world will come to Mayapur and join with their Bengali brothers and embrace them and together call out Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very pleased. But Srila Prabhupada said he'll be very pleased at this. This was his dream. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled that dream. And Srila Prabhupada said that if we can build this great temple in Mayapur, then Srila Prabhupada said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally take you back to Godhead. So his blessings are still there in the world. Ebe Josh Gushok Tu Bhuvan, we sing daily to Srila Prabhupada. May his glories be broadcast all over the universe. Srila Prabhupada's glories, they are to be understood in relation to the glories of the previous acharyas. He is a great personality in his own right, but then all the acharyas, they're interlinked. Srila Prabhupada is a representative of all the previous acharyas. So when we glorify him, Sarvadeva Mayo Guru, we glorify all the previous acharyas. But these previous acharyas, they should also be known. We should know. To some capacity, we should know. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur sang, parampara jano bhalo mote. We should know very well what is parampara. We should know what is the principle of parampara, where we have to come in a Vaishnava parampara. What is the message of the parampara? What are the specific teachings that the individual acharyas gave? What are their lives, the basic activities they performed. There's so much oceanic. Not everyone can know everything. Quite often I'm contacted with questions about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or his disciples, but as I'm supposed to know better than others, but as I wrote in the beginning of the compilation of that book, which I had the great good fortune to compile, that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, it's only an introduction. There's so much of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What I've given is only an introduction. So much more. How much can we know? Yesterday, Vamana Avatar, he came as a dwarf. Even to talk of the Acharyas, we're like dwarves. I'm like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. Anyway, the moon is so far away, even a tall man can't catch it. Then what to speak of a dwarf? So we simply attempt to glorify them for our own purification and pray for their blessings. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very active. He inaugurated the movement for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. As Srila Prabhupada noted, he first sent copies of his books to the Western world, the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sent copies of that book and to different places and important people in the world. One of them was to McGill University in Toronto in Canada, and that was later discovered in the university library by some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And Srila Prabhupada noted that, well, it might seem very coincidental, it's a transcendental coincidence that the same year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent that book to the West was the same year in which His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was born in this world to fulfill that desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A coincidence orchestrated by Krishna. Just Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 1896, then he remained in this world for another 18 years. He passed away in 1914. And he didn't personally see Abhay Charan Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Some of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Odalomi Maharaj, some of the early disciples, they had some of the early disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they interacted with Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his old age. Paramananda took instruction from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, young boy at that time. They're all young boys who later became prominent in the Gauriya Math. But we are not cheated by not seeing him. Just as the devotees who come to Krishna consciousness now through Srila Prabhupada's movement, they're not cheated by not having seen Srila Prabhupada. We can fully avail of his teachings which he has left for us. So that's a great project. There are solid beginnings in that, but it's really a huge task to research and bring out and write books and publicize and glorify these acharyas. And as we do so, then they'll give us more realizations of what they're teaching and more mercy. And it's a great flow of mercy that's coming down. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, again, compared Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the Bhagirath, to Bhagirath, who just like Bhagirath brought Ganga to this world, to purify this world. So in the same way, Bhaktivinoda, Ganga had got stuck up. Well, it was a difficult task because Ganga was in the heavenly worlds, then came to this world and got stuck up in the matted hair of Lord Shiva, and then it was a difficult time. Then again got stuck up in Janu Muni's body, but with great difficulty he brought Ganga all the way to Kapil Ashram. And on the way, she purified so many people and continues to do so. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhagirath, inasmuch as the pure Ganga of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings had got stuck up in different places. But he brought the full flow, the flood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. He brought again to this world. So there's only things to say. Just some things came to mind now. And let us offer obeisance to Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas, Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satyadananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanoga Varayate Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Dante Nidhaya Churnakang Padayo Nipatya Kritva Chakaku Shatameta Daham Bravimi Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durat Gauranga Chandra Charne Kuruta Anuraga Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Va Nanu Mokaro Navayang Vichara Yamaha Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare